Welcome back. Again, we're continuing with our course, Developing Great Commission Skills. We're taking a look at Skill 1, Unit 2, of Discerning and Developing Vision. Today, the focus is on a reached community. And I want you to pay particular attention to the fact that I'm using a past tense verb, a reached community. We're not going to talk too much about the verb form in this particular session, but later on, that's going to be very significant. So, let's talk about vision. Let's talk about how we define vision. A vision is a picture of a desired future. It's a snapshot of a preferred future. I realize that lots of organizations use different words differently. They use words like vision and mission and purpose kind of interchangeably. The way that we're going to use the word vision has this definition. Vision is a picture of a desired future, a snapshot of a preferred future. We're going to project out, say, 3 years, 5 years in advance, and we are going to take a snapshot. Might be more appropriate to say we're going to take a video. And the question is, what's in that snapshot? What's in that video? What do we want to be in that snapshot, in that video? If we are effective, if we are successful at moving forward with our Great Commission vision, what are we going to see? What do we want to see? What would we like to make happen by the grace of God? So, I want to call your attention to a couple of things here as we take that look into the future. We have a choice that we've got to make. We can choose to be passive and just wait for the future to happen. In other words, we can just let the future happen. Or we can choose to be proactive. We can design our future. We can make the future happen. Again, I'm relying on the fact that it's got to be by the grace of God that we do these things. I'm not saying that we all by ourselves can make these things happen. But I am saying that trusting the leading of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the leading of God, we can choose to be passive about all this, just wait for the future to arrive and see what it brings with it, or we can project the future that we want to see, the one that captures God's vision of bringing glory to Himself, but also the vision of God rescuing His sheep that are scattered. God has a vision of a church that goes and makes disciples. I'm absolutely convinced that the Great Commission is essentially a vision statement that includes strategic content, directives. We can choose to be that church, and we can, by the grace of God, make that church happen. God has a vision of an eternal church, an eternal family that lives with Him forever. Now, by covenant design, He will be their God, and they will be His people. Well, here's a question for you. Went too far. How do we, as a local church, fit into God's plan and purpose? How do we fit? God envisions a gathered family, and we can envision a reached community, a harvest that is gathered from the community that is part of that eternal family. God gives us a glimpse of how this might happen, how He's going to make His family happen, when we look into Genesis 1, the mandate to be fruitful and multiply. the very first people on earth, Adam and Eve, God says to them, be fruitful and multiply. There's an expectation on God's part that multiplication is going to happen. It's going to be biological. It's going to be spiritual. This is a first hint at God's vision. God is envisioning a growing population of his children. God blessed them. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. The multiplication mandate. Again, this speaks to the biological multiplication of human beings, but it also speaks to the spiritual multiplication of the children of God. That's the beginning. Now, God also gives us a glimpse of what he ultimately envisions when we look to Revelation and view God's gathered family through the lens of the Apostle John. Now, what does John say? Well, I'm reading here from Revelation 7, beginning with verse 9. It says this, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Did you catch both the evangelism and discipleship piece there, both the finding of the lost and the growing into true worship? Salvation belongs to our God. Evangelism. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. The glory of God. Amen. Now, we begin with the multiply of Genesis. And we move to the multitude of Revelation. Now, here's a question for you. How will God move his vision of an eternal family from the multiply of Genesis to the multitude of Revelation? Well, he's going to work through his Missio Dei, the mission of God, the vision of God, the purpose of God. And it's twofold. It includes the salvation of the lost, a great multitude of people who've been saved, and it includes the glory of God. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and power and might be to our God forever and ever. So, again, this might be a good time to reinforce this idea that vision and strategy go hand in hand. We might argue that strategy is actually part of the vision. Now, on the face of vision, we've got a couple of questions. What and why? What are we trying to accomplish? And why is that what we're trying to accomplish? Well, in short, we're trying to go and make disciples. That's the what. What's the why? Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. Now, inside of the Great Commission, there is a command. Jesus says, obey all that I've commanded you. And right there in the same group of sentences, Jesus is commanding us to go and make disciples, to baptize, to teach obedience. Now, the strategic question is this. How are we going to go and make disciples? It's such an important element that I encourage churches to include the how as part of their vision statements. We'll get more into that in another session. So, vision breaks out into three dimensions. What are we going to do? Why are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? When those questions are answered, the vision is becoming more and more clear. Now, in sweeping terms, God is moving from the multiply of Genesis to the multitude of Revelation. He's doing so through the regeneration of men, women, and children all over the globe each and every day. Now, that's where the church fits in. You see, here's what's going on. God is using his visible church to grow his invisible church. His finite church to grow his infinite, eternal church. Now, as a local church, we exist in an exact place and time with the responsibility to labor in our exact community, our domestic harvest or mission field. This is the community that we are called to reach. This is the vision that we have, the vision of a reached community. If we are effective at reaching this community, what is that going to look like 3 years from now, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years? Now, as we project out into the future and we describe what we are seeing, that is a picture of our vision. And it's out of that full narrative that our holistic vision statement emerges. It gives us a destination, and it influences the path that we're going to follow to get there. Now, I want to share a few stories about my ministry in the past. In particular, I want to share about a church that I pastored. A church in Phoenix, Arizona. We were very clear about our vision, reasonably clear about our strategy, got more and more clear on our strategy over time as things got better and better defined. So let me give you a glimpse of what that looked like. First of all, We summarized our large vision narrative with a simple phrase, being disciples, making disciples. Being disciples, making disciples. Four words that said an awful lot. And I happen to know that several churches that I've worked with over the years actually adopted that phrase for their very own. Being disciples incorporates the things that we're doing in our relationship to God. We are learning, we're praying, we're studying, we're worshiping, we are living, we are believing, we are behaving according to the biblical mandates. And of course, that includes being obedient to the Great Commission. Being disciples, doing the things that disciples do. Being disciples, making disciples. You know, the multiplication component comes in when we replicate who we are and what we are becoming as disciples of Christ. You know, we're responsible for our own spiritual development, and part of our own spiritual development is to learn how to spiritually develop others. In fact, I have a definition of leadership that fits in here We'll look at this more closely another time. But in my mind, leadership is taking responsibility for the spiritual development of other people. That's what leadership in the church looks like. Now, when it comes to strategy, what we did in this particular church was to summarize our strategy in a simple three-part phrase: in-reach, outreach, far-reach. So you can see that with these two phrases, we were being very economical with our vocabulary. Being disciples, making disciples, was shorthand for our vision. Shorthand for our strategy was in-reach, outreach, far-reach. Now, we plastered those two phrases all over the place. They were on our business cards. They were on the bulletins that we handed out on Sunday. They were on banners. They were on posters. We used them every chance we got. So let me give you a little bit of a definition of in-reach, outreach, and far-reach. In-reach is the phrase we use to represent the ministry that we did among ourselves, taking care of each other, teaching each other, supporting each other, being there for each other. In-reach. Outreach was defined as the ministry that we did in the immediate area surrounding our church geographically, our domestic mission field, if you will. We identified a very specific, what I call a ministry footprint, with street names and diagrams that describe this is the area geographically that we are going to, you know, put a stake in the ground. We're going to claim this territory. We're going to take responsibility for reaching people that live inside this geographic footprint. The language we use was, this is our geographic target. Now, this is not to say that folks outside that target were not welcome at our church. What it did say is that this is where we're going to focus our strategic attention. This is where we're going to pour our time, our energy, our dollars, our creativity. We are going to take care of each other in reach, but we are going to reach into this immediate community, and we're going to take care of these folks. We're going to try to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into their lives, into their homes, into their hearts, into their minds. And we're going to welcome them with open arms should they decide to make our church a church home for them. Of course, at that point, they would cross the line from being part of our outreach to being part of our in-reach and probably helping us with our outreach to someone else. Far-reach was the phrase we used to describe ministry that we did beyond our own congregation, beyond our own geographic community, into distant communities. Now, our church was located roughly 2.5 hours drive time from the Mexican border. We could drive south on Interstate 10 and be at the border town of Nogales in about 2.5 hours. And we got involved with a group of churches in northern Mexico, Sonora, and we made that group of churches our focus for our far-reach ministry. Now, we use this language all the time. You know, even things like if we were doing announcements, say on a Sunday morning inside of typical worship service, we might say something like this. We would say, you know, on Saturday the 15th, we're going to be taking a group of folks from our church and community down to Nogales. We're going to be working with a church there that's part of the group of churches that we support. We've recently purchased a building for them, and we're helping with the remodeling. So we're going to go down on Friday and work with them Friday evening and Saturday, and we're going to celebrate with them on Saturday afternoon, and then we're going to drive back. We'd love to have you with us. This is part of our far reach vision of ministering beyond ourselves, of ministering, in this case, northern Mexico. So we were making it clear all along the line what the touch points were. What kind of ministry is this? Oh, this is in reach. What kind of ministry is that? Oh, that's outreach. What kind of ministry is it? Oh, that's far reach. And we use that language all the time. We're constantly encouraging each other to be disciples and make disciples. So let me give you a few examples of some of the things that happened. In terms of in reach, when I started with this church, it was a church in very, very steep decline. It had declined down to 12 members. Actually, 13. I'm sorry. 13 members. Six married couples and one single guy. And I was recruited as a church planter to come into that church and sort of declare these folks to be the core of something new, and to start this church all over again. We called it Restart, ultimately. You know, it's a very long story, and of course I don't have near enough time to go into all that. But let me say this. Right from day one, I realized that I was not really there to just be the pastor to these 13 people. That I was there to lead a movement of people that would ultimately reach into this community, bring people to Christ, grow them in their faith, and deploy them in ministries. And ministries in our congregation, ministries in our community, and ministries who knows where else. I was there for a total of 7 years. And every day of that 7 years, we lived that vision of multiply, multiply, multiply. Reach out to the community. We're here to go and make disciples. Now, we grew internally, but we exploded externally. So when I left that church some 7 years ago, I left a church that was over 300. And I baptized somewhere in the neighborhood of about 105, 110 people, as best I can glean from records that I was privy to. Our in-reach was pretty intense. The idea was we're going to really take care of people when they're part of us. And so as people would come in and they would find us very welcoming, very attentive, and yet challenging them to move forward, to maximize their potential as followers of Christ, they would tell others, and others would come. And so we grew exponentially. In terms of outreach, one of the things we did was we formulated an approach to ministry that we called Champion Ministries. The way that this worked is that anyone in the church that just felt a calling to establish a particular ministry had the opportunity to essentially apply with our elders for the green light to pursue that ministry in the context of our church. So there was actually an application process. A person that felt called to champion a certain ministry, whether it was ESL or perhaps something working with kids after school, something with, I think there was a home for battered women that was supported, all kinds of different ministries that were out in the community. Folks could come and fill out this application. This is what I want to do. This is why I want to do this. This is the need that I think we could address. This would be the amount of people that I would need to help me with this. This is the resource base that we'd need to develop. And the final section of the application would be this. Explain how this ministry connects with our vision of being disciples and making disciples, and connects with our strategy of in-reach, outreach, and far reach. Now, as long as those ministries met those criteria, they would be approved. Now, a lot of times, this was an all-volunteer thing. Oftentimes, it took very, very little resourcing. It was just a matter of finding like-minded people that wanted to be part of this. And so when I left the church, there were 18 champion ministries in operation. 18. One final comment, and then I'll be done. When it came to Far Reach, as I mentioned already, Mexico was our focus. Now, when we first went to Mexico, the very first trip that we took, we thought that our vision was to go to Mexico and start a Mexican church plant, eventually another and another, and somewhere along the line become more and more familiar with Mexican leadership in the area. But our goal was to establish a network of Mexican churches. Well, the very first weekend that we were down there, we bumped into a gentleman who was part of a church in Mexico that was part of a network of church plants in northern Mexico. And so we made an adjustment. We adjusted the vision from go to Mexico and start a network of Mexican church plants to go to Mexico and find this network of Mexican church plants. So we put our energy, our resources, our prayers, our efforts behind them. And we saw really significant things happen with that ministry. We provided, for example, a small library of Bible tools, like dictionaries and commentaries, for 28 pastors. We brought a variety of training into a place that had virtually no ministry training. We brought some dollars to help out. We bought a building that included a kind of a warehouse that they turned into a worship center, but it also included a little five-room house that the pastor and his wife and child were able to move into. So things were very, very exciting, energizing. But that's how we used our concepts of vision and strategy to move multiplication ministry forward. Now, that ministry in Mexico exploded with conversion growth. Our church in Phoenix, I mean, it wasn't an explosion like they're going to put us on the cover, you know, of Christianity Today. But it was a significant month after month after month of people coming to Christ as God would draw people to us. And I think in part because we were so ready to share the message of the gospel and so ready to take care of people. So, being disciples, making disciples, in-reach, outreach, far reach. And what was the result? A reached community. At least we did our part to reach some of that community. Now, this completes this particular video. Next time, we're going to be looking at the skill topic, vision in motion. May God bless your ongoing studies. Amen.